Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Craig Ruffalo. I'm Vice President of McKinney Flavelle, and today is Friday the 13th, July 13th, 2018, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Weekly Podcast. Today, I've got a wonderful surprise for everybody, our in-house expert on the sweeteners markets, specifically on sugar, Kevin Combs. Kevin, hey, we've got the World Cup coming up, buddy. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody.
Man, I'll tell you what, Mike Coughlin would love to see that we are talking soccer. We have the World Cup finals, the France versus Croatia, and I got to get your prediction. Who's going to win?
Well, it's a tough choice, really. When you look at the teams, I think France definitely has the advantage here. I look for them to pull out the win, and I'm really going to root for them because I'm pretty much wrong every week.
So, in other words, if you're rooting for France, they're going to lose.
Correct. And ooh, I'll be happy when Croatia wins. Got to go for the underdog.
Yeah, I'm kind of rooting for the underdog guy myself. So I'll go with rooting for Croatia quietly, but root for France openly, as you suggest. That's a good one.
Yeah. Speaking of underdogs, Craig, how about our Oakland A's?
Hey, I love the fact that a team that has a bunch of no-names on it has won, 18 out of the last 23 games, and they just took the series from the Houston Astros?
Always fun to just, drive a little bit more pain into Houston after the NBA Finals.
No question.
Western Conference Finals.
Well, that was a de facto NBA Finals. Let's put it like that. And speaking of the NBA, so what do you think of Boogie Cousins coming over here to the Warriors? Is that a good trade for them? Is it
It's going to be a great upgrade at center and makes us stronger for next year, particularly when the playoffs. Obviously, we got to get Cousins healthy before that comes into play.
Yeah, but so LeBron's going to be in the Western Conference. Does that put the Lakers above Houston, or are they still kind of an iffy situation as far as the Western Conference?
Well, until they get somebody to put the ball in the basket, I think they're still underneath Houston and probably more like a fourth, maybe even a fifth seed in the West.
All right. Well, obviously, that's going to be the – might as well just tell the Eastern Conference not to even bother coming to the show.
Except the Celtics. Got to give some shout-out to the Celtics.
I know. And the 76ers are up and coming, as we've talked about.
You get Kyrie Irving back. With the Celtics, I think they're going to be a challenge in the East.
Well, speaking of challenges, I think the USDA has certainly got plenty of them. And yesterday's WASDE report would probably reflect a few of them that they have been hit with. And I'd love for you to give us our take on the sugar supply and demand estimates, because they were all over the place yesterday on their report. What was your big takeaway from yesterday's WASDE numbers?
Yeah, they were an interesting situation. One of the biggest shockers was we actually had the beet crop for this year raised 55,000 tons. I got to believe most of that is looking at early harvest.
Oh, sure.
We do have Mindac running up into July this year, which was probably a little bit to do with that number as well. But we're actually at a 5.276 million short ton crop now, which is a record crop on a fiscal year basis, believe it or not.
Another record for the beet guys. Wow.
They keep doing it. Then, one of the things we look at and have been talking about, it seems like for the last couple of years, has been on the demand side for sugar.
Absolutely.
And, the trends you see, you've seen people switching out of high fructose to sugar, which is kind of supporting it. But you see a lot of food manufacturers trying to have less sugar added and putting, 25% less sugar on labels, doing a lot of product extensions taken away from sugar demand. And we've continually thought the USDA has been a little strong on some of their demand forecasts. And lo and behold, we watch in deliveries over the course of this year, and they keep being a little bit lower than last year. I think total deliveries are down 1.3% on the year, yet the USDA has continued to show growth in demand. Well, they're finally starting to back off of their forecast now, and they lowered 2017-18 demand by 65,000 tons and 2018-19 by 100,000 tons. So
we're still looking at, based on the numbers, a net gain in consumption or deliveries for food use year over year. So that's still something of a question in your mind, that maybe we might see a retracement even further, but by the time this fiscal is over, if that continues, with the trend of what you're suggesting. So we actually may see additional reduction in the current fiscal deliveries.
Yeah, I very much think when you look at deliveries, we're now got numbers for 8 months and they're down. So this starts to pick up. We're getting to the busy season. So I'm not going to say it's going to be down as much or the continued negative pace is going to continue to grow. But it's real hard to see anything better than flat versus year over year at this point. And so that could have a pretty substantial impact on supply, demand, and the carryout going into next year.
Wow. So currently with the adjustment, we're at 16% SEP 30 stocks to use ratio. So there's a potential for that to jump even further then.
Yeah, you could make an argument for 100,000 tons.
Wow. All right. So then the message here then is that as we're leaning into 18, 19, and particularly those folks that are looking at 19, how does that impact, one, the number 16 market, if at all, or two, the refined sugar market? Is there any kind of correlation to what we're talking about here and what it might project as we get forward on negotiations for next year?
Well, obviously, it is bearish to a degree and, you know, creates some opportunity. But when you look at the sugar market and the structure, you know, I really don't see a lot of downward opportunity. Maybe in the short term, you could see some pressure on the 16 markets. But when you get down to the new crop, it really depends on how the USDA manages it. And do they really try to stick to a 13.5% stocks to use ratio?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I have a question on the 18-19 numbers, Kevin. I'd love to hear your take on it. Is it in the beginning and from May forward now that the import numbers that we've seen, specifically the import number assigned to Mexico, has been consistently larger than this current fiscal's? And in this current report, they show 1.655 million short tons raw value that they would be assigning to imports out of Mexico. Do you feel that that's actually going to come to fruition? Because you know that they're going to use this as the baseline now for establishing the quotas for the new crop, according to the suspension rules. Is this a real number, or is this something that you might see adjusted down or up from this number as they get forward?
Yeah, well, under the suspension agreements, as you know, Craig, they set the stocks to use ratio at 13.5% in July. This is the first month where Mexico's quota is set there. And they're trying to balance the supply demand. But what we're looking at, and this is really the second year in a row, it appears they're fairly conservative on their production estimates, meaning on the lower side of what might happen if weather cooperates throughout the crop year. And they're still aggressive on demand for 2018-19. So if they get this right and they start adjusting these numbers, production up and demand down over the next few months when we have the next adjustment to reset the allocation at 13.5%, I really expect Mexico's quota to be lower. And it could be a couple hundred thousand tons lower pretty easily. Yeah. And you take into account when we were just talking about 17-18, you could make an argument as much as 300,000 tons.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that that's a number people might be staring at going, wow, that's a lot of sugar coming up from Mexico. Are they going to be able to sell it all? Well, they could possibly deliver it. I just don't think that's a real number. So yeah. I think you're right. I think that there's some downside. You know, speaking of the changes in the WASDE report and downside, I thought the corn S&D table was a little bit interesting too. I think they're a bit too bullish, in my opinion, on the export numbers that they were reflecting in the WASDE for the new crop, particularly with the fact that we have some trade sanctions going on and around in negotiations, not just the ones in the press with regards to China, but we also have the discussions going on with the revamping of NAFTA, and with Obrador being elected down there, we'll yet to determine whether or not we're going to have a change to NAFTA or not. So I think if you're looking at the corn balance sheet, the current crop, you can take or leave what the numbers are. I'm still a bit skeptical if we're going to get 2.4 billion bushels of exports. I'm questioning that number specifically. The rest of the balance sheet, I don't overly see plus or minus to the current crop. The new crop, obviously the acreage report had something to do with it.
Well, what do you think on the production and the yields? You know, USDA didn't make any changes here. It's really early. We haven't got into pollination yet for them to make any major adjustments where it's just starting. So how do you see things in that regard, do you think we got some upside on production?
Well, you know, I think like you said, in the sugar side, they're being a bit conservative to start on production, and that effectively is going to be the yield number. The acreage number got released as the June 30th acreage report came out, and so they had to make that adjustment because it was out in the public domain. I think they're being a bit conservative on 174 bushel an acre yield. The potential is 180 on this crop. I don't know that we'll hit that.
That'd but, be awesome.
Boy, if you could get anywhere between, say, 177 and 180, current market is already maybe reflecting a little bit better crop than what's been reported in the numbers, because we all of a sudden have seen the corn crop become the one that everybody is liquidating as far as the futures positions go. Soybean is still up and down a little bit like a yo-yo. Went up yesterday with the report, and today it crashed. So, you know, overall...
Was there another tweet today about tariffs?
Could very well be. Who knows? You know, it could be somebody doing more fake news. I don't know what the heck that guy thinks, and I'm not going to even speculate as to what he's thinking.
I would just really love to see Donald Trump and Lopez Obrador in a room.
Oh my God. Could you imagine that conversation?
It would be incredible. And we'd probably see major volatility in the markets if it did happen. So.
I think the stock market would go absolutely turning its head around and around and around.
Speaking of volatility, Craig, yesterday we also had some news out from Ingredion's going to shutter their Stockton corn wet milling facility. What do you think about that?
Yeah, interesting commentary. Timing is always an interesting time when you're speaking of an asset closure. I think that this is something that we had suggested for, you know, a couple, 3 years now, that it's a potential change to the corn wet milling landscape, just because it's in the state of California. It's out of the Corn Belt. The state of California has done everything to encourage industrial manufacturers to leave our state. So I wouldn't be overly shocked if people kind of looked at it and said, yeah, that's that kind of makes sense. The issue that I find, Kevin, is going to be supply chain. You're now talking about a 2,500-mile supply chain, and I appreciate the fact that they're going to keep that facility operational as far as a distribution, and they've got storage of product there because they've got the tank space. It's just whether or not the railroads will behave kindly enough to make sure that that product is available to them once they get past production in the actual wet mill itself. Overall, you know, you're talking about a half a billion pounds or more product, or 3% of capacity.
So this is, you think this is probably a major departure from the Memphis closure? Memphis was a much bigger wet mill.
Yes, it was. And you know, I think that the two products that had been produced at Stockton was HFCS, both 42 and 55. And then they did do some industrial starch at one time. So, you know, there's going to be a couple of products. It's not near the size of Memphis. It's also in an area where demand has been lower than in, say, the Southeast. There's a much bigger supply base and demand base in the Southeast than there was on the West Coast. I think overall, the timing of this announcement is going to be interesting psychologically when we start going for our 2019 price negotiations. We haven't yet set the established list pricing out there for it yet, but we're going to find out how the market reacts. My suspicion is it's going to be targeted as a reason why, with continued consolidation, higher prices. We're going to find out at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think at this time, we've got a bunch of companies really scrambling to figure out whether or not the timing is right on sugar and the timing is right on corn derivatives, and much more to come over these summer months. So if you're trying to take your vacations and sit out and get a good tan, have a couple of cold ones, you might want to keep strapped to the podcast here from McKinney Favelle.
Right.
Kevin, what are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts are volatility.
Wow.
Going to be a crazy negotiation season, I think. And I think it's going to be difficult and choppy. And I think, you know, when you look at sugar, it's the same situation. You got people trying to decide. We got a little bit lower pricing over the last few weeks. A lot of people have been booking. Is this the bottom, or is the supply demand situation going to get more bearish and I should wait a little bit longer?
Well, with that, we're going to wrap it up here today. I think everybody, make sure you give McKinney Favelle a call if you've got any questions surrounding these topics or others. We'll be around this week and next week. We'll have a couple people out going to the IFT, going to a bioindustry conference. Look forward to catching up with your McKinney Favel reps at any one of those opportunities. Talk to you later. Everybody have a great weekend. Kevin, have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.